Go.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, happy Wednesday, everybody. I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings coming at you from Norman, Oklahoma. And you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for May 18th, episode 1432, brought to you today by Back on Track Products. Good morning, Horse World.
Big Wednesday, the day you face your own biggest challenge, the day you risk it all, the day you either distinguish yourself or fade into the crowd.
Hang on, we're hitching a ride.
Daddy, I want another pony.
I put 40 hours in this weekend, man, it's only Wednesday. I've been cussing this damn heat all day long, there's got to be another way. So I pick up my guitar and I write a song. Everybody hears and they sing along.
I actually should have played the Looney Tunes opener this morning because that would have been more appropriate. More appropriate to our day.
You doing all right there, boss?
Well, Jamie got no sleep last night. I got no sleep last night. So this could be a fun show. Could be.
I'm supposed to go and do, like, it was about 2 a.m. when I woke up and did not get any more sleep. And I'm supposed to go do yoga again after this. My sister-in-law leads a yoga class at the Y and I get to go. I'm excited.
Fun.
Yay!
Well, now anyway. I got to tell you, you missed out. I know you're
what else is new?
Your boyfriend, not Chad, the other boyfriend, Garth Brooks. Good old Garth and Trisha are doing their tour. You know, they're out there singing away all over the country. Well, they had sold their 4 millionth ticket. Can you believe that? 4 millionth ticket. Well, this lady who was a teacher who bought the 4 millionth ticket didn't really know she bought the 4 millionth ticket. She just bought this in Grand Rapids, Michigan, and showed up at the concert. Well, she was greeted and taken backstage to meet both Garth and Trisha. Kind of special that that she got to meet them. But that wasn't all. Jamie, this is what you missed out on. Not only did she get to go backstage and say hello and everything, they presented her with a couple of gifts, like a brand new red Corvette, a black Jeep Cherokee, a $5,000 shopping spree, and a trip to Las Vegas.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, and they decided that wasn't enough after they met the teacher. They also are going to pay off her student loans.
What? Because she just was the lucky one who bought the 4 millionth ticket.
Yep. Nice little prize. And she didn't know until she got to the concert. That's pretty cool, huh?
Let me just point out that, like, my ticket to go see Garth was around $75. But, you know, as you know, I ended up sitting behind the stage for $75. So every other concert ticket was at minimum $125. And they've sold 4 million tickets.
I know.
That's like $500 million in tickets.
You know, if this was Oprah, she would have given a new red Corvette to everybody in the audience.
God, Garth is cheap.
Cheap bastard.
Let's say $500 million and all you do is buy one person a car or two. I mean, that's embarrassing.
It is.
It's embarrassing.
But, you know, I'm glad a teacher won it. I really am. That's
really neat. Thank God she didn't sell that ticket on Craigslist.
I know. I can't go. I got a stomach ache.
Tired. It's Monday. I'm gonna just go ahead and put it on Craigslist and some dude that sold it to somebody else, sold to somebody else, shows up and they're like, yay!
Yeah. who doesn't even have a clue who Garth Brooks was, just ended up going
with
his girlfriend.
Are you Cindy Johnson?
Yeah. Why, yes, I am.
Jennifer, what's coming up on today's show?
Coming We're up grumpy. On today's Back on Track Crappy List Wednesday edition.
Sorry, I'm going to be more positive.
Let's just call the whole show crappy. Can you just change that to the Crappy Show Edition or whatever?
It's the Crappy Show Edition. Following our short yet entertaining recap of our co-host's most recent adventures, Karen Chatton is going to sit down with Valerie Ashker for a chat about her ride across the continent, which started last week. And then Healthy Critters Radio co-host Tigger Montague is going to explain nutrient depletion, warning science content. And in between, we've got some Preakness armchair quarterbacking going on and more crappy lists than you would know what to do with, even if you had a shaken fork. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
I got to tell you, before we get to the Daily Winnies, Jamie, I'm on all of the Facebook pages that are for podcasters. And I see this post every once in a while. I just did this episode, because they all record them. I just did this episode, and I'm not sure I put it out. It's not my top work. I don't feel really good about it. And I'm sitting there thinking, if we didn't put out every episode that we didn't think was our top show, we wouldn't have half our shows. So it's like
today is going to be my best day, Glenn.
Okay.
Good. That is it.
Good. All right, good. But let's start with Daily Winnie's then. My Daily Winnie is a multi-parter. The first part is this. Okay, Chili's annoying today, I gotta say.
God, I love him.
Happy birthday. I just thought you might miss him seeing you're on the road. Happy birthday to listener Andrew Hallbach and also Ginger from Hopper Expositions. Ginger is the one that makes our life so enjoyable when we go to Ada. She takes care of us. It's Hopper that brings us in for the last 14 times now. And anytime we have an issue, Ginger's right on it, and she really makes us feel special when we're there. So happy birthday to Ginger. Also, thank you for the kind words from Mona Wheeler over on the auditor page. I really appreciate what you wrote over there, and that's all I'm going to say about it. But thank you for the kind words.
I need a birthday thing, too. I'm going to make you play it again, just because it's chilly.
All right, I'll do them right in a row here. Hold on.
God, I miss him just like crazy. No. So that sister-in-law that is taking me to yoga, yesterday we celebrated her 40th birthday. So Chad now has a sister who is 40 and he's older and it hurts his heart. So I had, he's like, I can't believe I have a sister who's 40. I'm like, you're 42. We were playing games last night at the dinner table. Raise your hand if you're under 40. It's like me and the kids. I got a couple years left.
Yeah, you're getting there. You're approaching that.
Raise your hand if you're
you
under
are
40.
You are not too far behind, girl.
Lucas and I raise our hand. We're like, boo-hoo.
Is that Samantha?
Yes, it is.
Okay,
so happy
I see
birthday,
her post
Samantha.
On your page all the time. Happy birthday, Samantha.
Yeah, she's super nice.
All right. Well, a couple housekeeping things before we get on with the show. I got to give our best to Bella, the young daughter of a horse trainer who does tips for us out of New Zealand. Her name's Ellie O'Brien. She had come over here to train for a couple of years and now is back in New Zealand. And Bella's maybe about 10 years old. She was in the hospital and I saw pictures of them at the Ronald McDonald House together. And she had to have some surgery done on a condition I had never heard of, actually. So our best to Bella and to Ellie and the whole family over there. They listen in, so we're thinking about you. Also, we have an auditor assignment. Next week, on Friday, we're going to have a film crew here in the studio. They are doing a documentary on podcasting, and are coming out on Friday morning to film me sitting here at my mic and Jennifer doing her thing. And then they're going to stay and they're going to be here Saturday morning. We're getting the horses out and they're going to fly a drone over the farm and do video of us doing our horse thing and all that stuff. So
get out.
Yeah, I know.
You're like famous.
Big time. So what I had asked the auditors to do, and if you haven't had a chance to do it, if you're an auditor, go into the auditor Facebook page and you'll see the post. Just scroll down. I asked you to post a picture of you and your horse, and I'm going to print them all out and I'm going to make an auditor wall so that when they're filming me here at my microphone, they'll actually see all the auditors behind me on the wall. And oh, by the way, I cleaned my office yesterday. I cleaned the studio. You would not believe it now. I am ready for film cameras. No more junkie.
Did you happen to see the picture that I posted on the auditor wall?
I did, and I'm not quite sure it's going to make it to the... I did see that.
Why don't you describe
baby Luke sitting on the toilet naked? I don't think that. I don't want this to be. We'll be arrested for child pornography. You might get arrested for child pornography for actually posting that picture. But
he's like, give me a picture of you and your horse, and I post a big old picture right there of Lukey naked on the toilet.
Yeah, that one may not make it to the auditor wall. Just saying.
I thought you'd appreciate that, and apparently it was a very popular photo with all the other mothers.
Because they all have a picture like that.
Yep.
Just too scared to post
first time
it.
On the potty.
I also want to welcome all of our new Irish listeners. We have had, since we had, remember the lovely jumper rider that was 12 years old we had it last Friday?
Reese,
who was very popular and so cute, and his mother wrote us a very nice email. Thank you so much for doing that. But we've had 50 downloads of the Horse Radio Network app this week from Ireland. So we want to welcome all of our new Irish listeners over there. We hope you enjoy the show, and we're definitely going to have Reese back. He was terrific.
Now, on that email that his mother sent, it said, please, Jennifer, if you're ever in Ireland, come by.
Yeah, she didn't like that.
I would like to make sure that they know that I'm the one who's probably going to go to Ireland the soonest because I fly for free, and I will be there. I really actually want to go. It's on my top like two or three places. So if we could write them back and be like, that name that you wanted was Jamie.
Jamie. Yes. Jamie. Jamie will be coming to visit. She'll be representing.
I want to ride jumpers in Ireland. I'm in.
Well, they probably have a few ponies you could ride, and you're small enough to ride as ponies.
Yeah. Come on.
They jump 4 feet, so it doesn't matter that they're ponies.
I don't jump 4 feet, so. Right.
You might.
You might.
Yeah, so that was very nice, and we're glad to have all of you. And I'm going to tell you what we tell all new people that come to the show. Give us a couple of days. You'll figure it all out. We've been doing this show for 5 years, 1,400 episodes, so we kind of have things that are, you know, we've done in the past that are insider things, but you'll kind of figure it out as you go. And if you stick with us for a week, you'll be golden. If you can't make it a week, God bless you. And we have 9 other shows on the network. Just check out the app there.
I'm not usually this grumpy, okay? Yeah, I'm sorry.
We're both pretty tired. I'm having a bad Lyme day. Jamie's just having a bad sleep day. I have to ask you, you went to the airport and you flew to Texas. The talk now about the lines at TSA is unbelievable. Did Phoenix have huge lines?
Let me tell you what's magical about being a parent with a kid in a stroller is as they see you coming and they go right this way and they let you through the lines. So I didn't really notice, but when I got to the front of the line, the guy was talking, the security officer was talking. He's like, you should have been here yesterday. There's 5,000 people standing here. And I guess the lines everywhere are just crazy. Flying is not down. People are by stock and flying right now because it's definitely.
I don't know what happened with the TSA. I haven't read why this has happened all of a sudden, but I mean, Chicago is supposed to be out of this world. 2-3 hours line. Right now, Chicago, the airports in Chicago are saying get there 3 hours ahead.
Oh my gosh.
I know. And you know what they're doing now? They're bringing entertainment in. And at, of course, in the Northern Kentucky, in Cincinnati Airport, which you fly into, when you go to Kentucky, they're bringing in miniature therapy horses to help calm the crowds. So they bring these little miniatures in, and people can come up and say hi to them and make them, you know, just trying to entertain the crowds while they're waiting 2 hours at the TSA line. They said,
Alisa Wallace was just in Atlanta, and she was in the line that takes forever, and there was violin players off to the side.
Well, apparently, I love this article. This was in horsenetwork.com. They said, if you're not a dyed-in-the-wool horse enthusiast, you'd probably still prefer miniature therapy horses to the bulk candy on offer at Denver International Airport. Apparently, they just have vats of Hershey Kisses out there that you can eat. And also, they're bringing... This is in California, of course, San Diego. They're bringing in clowns in San Diego. So this is their last line. I love this. Because if there's one thing that people with real flying anxiety don't need to see at airports, it's more clowns.
I'd be like, wow, get away from me, you weirdo.
Creepy clowns at the airport TSA line. That's perfect.
Lord is here to cheer you up.
Hey, there's a little horse race this weekend.
There is. Well, I mean, little, because there's only one horse that's going to show up. Oh, yeah, that's right. I said it. It's Nyquist. Although he will have a challenger and exaggerator, but this race is even shorter. So this is all Nyquist all the way.
This is the shortest of the races, right?
Correct. This is a mile and a 16th, where the Derby is a mile and an eighth. This is a mile and 16th. Now, the Belmont coming up will be a mile and a half. So they have a lot more running room down the home stretch in the Belmont. But I'm sorry. This is Nyquist distance, man. This is his race to lose for sure. There's only, I think, 12 horses that the Preakness even allows in this race. And you know, there's a lot of horses that are coming up from different classes. Like, there's only Exaggerator and Lonnie who were in the Kentucky Derby that are running against him in the Preakness here. And I don't know. I mean, I feel like it's a Nyquist Exaggerator race, being one and two. You don't even have to box that exacta.
Gunrunner, okay? The Steve Asmussen horse that came in third, was expected to run, and then they pulled him yesterday and said they're going to continue to run him at Churchill. So, so he's out too. He would have been the other one in the mix. And all the other, I'm looking at some of the other names: Abiding Star, Awesome Speed, Cherry Wine. That's a good one. Collected, Fellowship. I'm not sure about Fellowship. And I've never heard of most of these horses.
Well, you don't know most of these horses because these horses have been running in allowance races or grade threes. A lot of these horses haven't been on the major Derby trail. And but the horse Uncle Lino has a really high speed rating, really, really good. He, I think, would be one that would be in the mix. But then you've got horses like Awesome Speed, who has been running at Laurel Park. And then you've got a horse, Abiding Star, I believe, that has been at the Parks racetrack because he's been stuck there for a long time because he was in a quarantine situation with the herpes virus. So, I mean, there's a lot of horses that are kind of coming out of the woodwork, in my opinion. And it's just going to be a one horse race. So you can write that down or whatever you want to do with it and throw it in the trash because I'm not good at picking winners, but I have been a fan of this horse since leading up to the Breeders' Cup, 2-year-old juvenile last year. And that is my unprofessional, non-scientific take is I love him. My daddy, I love him. I want him to win.
Well, we're going to be talking more about the Preakness, of course, on Friday. I will go over the schedule a little bit for you. They will do the post-position draw on Thursday at 5 o'clock tomorrow. Then the Black-Eyed Susan Stakes, which is happening on Friday. This kind of works like the Derby does. So you have the races the day before. The Black-Eyed Susan being the biggest one of those. Is that fillies?
Yes, it is. Yep.
And then you'll have the Preakness at 6:45 on Saturday. So that will happen on Saturday. And Jennifer is in heaven, and I'll tell you why. Oh, so this weekend I was invited to, I don't know what this is, and I don't know why I'm doing there, but I was invited to a mastermind dinner of all these guys who get together and apparently think. I guess masterminds are like a think tank. We used to know them as think tanks.
Have you ever seen the movie Dinner for Schmucks?
No. Should I watch it before I go to this?
You should watch that.
Because that's what I'm going to.
You might be the schmuck they're inviting.
I'm going to a dinner, and I'm supposed to be the guest at this mastermind dinner of like smart people. And again, I don't know why they invited me, but I'm supposed to do that. It's in Orlando. And I thought, well, you know, we're actually going to the beach then Sunday and Monday to meet Jennifer's family at Daytona Beach. So why don't we just stay over in Orlando? So Jennifer's going to be at a resort. I'm going to drop her off about 3:30 on Saturday, and she will be by herself in heaven on her big king-size bed at a resort in Orlando watching the Preakness.
Oh my God. Bonbons and the Preakness.
She'll be ordering room service. Does that sound like heaven all by herself, alone with nobody bothering her? Right now, you'd take that, wouldn't you, Jamie?
You know, that used to sound terrible to me. And now I'm like, oh my God, I'd give $1 million to sleep alone for one night in some hotel room service.
And apparently, now I was told we're going to dinner and then we're going to play miniature golf.
Oh my God, you're in Dinner for Schmucks. Okay, so the whole thing with the Dinner for Schmucks is that all these really rich, famous people were supposed to invite like this biggest schmuck they could find, the biggest idiot, the weirdo.
So you're saying I'm the schmuck?
Of course. You're, and like they invited Steve Carell's character who made, he took roadkill and made it into little dioramas.
Okay.
So,
well, that's pretty much what we do in the show every morning. So
you're the schmuck they're inviting to Dinner for Schmucks. Yeah, you should check it out. Dinner of the Masterminds.
Well, that'll be us. That'll be me on Saturday night. I'll let you know how that goes.
You gotta watch it. Paul Rudd. It's hilarious.
I will let you know how that goes.
You were right.
Hey, on a serious note, I want to bring this up because I know there's a lot of people, we have a lot of listeners who have dealt with Lyme disease and are still dealing with it. I was talking to one of them this morning, and she was having a bad time right now. And, you know, I've been having a couple bad Lyme days. And I saw this article out, and this is from Balmara Health, which is a company that does drug studies and things like that. But they are actually in the testing phase of a new drug. And what I found interesting, because one of the things that's happened with Lyme disease, we talked about here in the show, is that the medical establishment, the AMA and others deny that the chronic Lyme even exists. Well, fortunately, there's some drug companies out there now doing a ton of research who don't believe that. They believe that up to 20% of patients develop what they call, and I didn't know it had a name, they actually call it post-treatment Lyme disease syndrome, or PTLDS. They believe it exists. So, and they think that up to 300,000 Americans are affected by Lyme every year, and that 20% of those, you know, over the last 15 years are chronic Lyme people like me. So they're actually still doing testing to try and help those people. And they're now in animal testing on a drug now that they think can help the chronic Lyme patients. So they think that in the next 2 to 3 years, if all the testing goes well, that this will come out of testing to be approved. So let's hope that happens. I was just thrilled to see there's somebody paying any attention to it. That basically what they're saying is that these little guys that live in your body that you get from the ticks are that antibiotics just aren't cutting it. So they learn how to evade antibiotics. And we've been saying that for years. Those of us that know a little bit more, I've been saying that for years. So that's something, just a bright spot and a little bit of hope for all of you out there that are in the situation that I'm in.
Absolutely. Hey, I on a totally different note, I have a little news story for you if you want.
Sure.
Going back to horse racing. Frank Stronach is a kind of an evil genius in the gambling. He's not evil in the gambling and horse racing business. And he's kind of the guy who he owns a lot of horses. He owns one of the big thoroughbred farms. I believe it's Adena Springs, actually. And he has created a race at Florida, the Gulfstream Park next January. It's called the Pegasus World Cup. Okay. The Pegasus World Cup in January. So it doesn't mess with the Breeders' Cup or any of the Derby Trail or anything like that. There are only going to be 12 horses allowed to enter this race. Okay. And what they are doing, you can be from anywhere. It's going to be a mile and an eighth on a dirt track. And the payoff for this race is going to be $12 million. Okay. Now, here's the catch. There are 12 horses who are allowed to enter this race. You know how much it costs to enter the race? $1 million. So the
Jennifer, how's Nigel training? How is this training coming?
We're breathing a furlong at a time now, man.
We can do crowdfunding and we can get Nigel in there.
Yeah, exactly. So unfortunately, Nigel probably would not win because 12 horses are allowed to enter. It costs $1 million to line up at the starting gate. Now, check this part out. I think you would make money because Nigel, could lease, contract, or even share the space with the starter. You could sell your place. Like, say you're like, I'm going to spend the $1 million. And then like 10 other horses won at one spot as well. You can sell your spot
for like $2 million.
For like, you want to get in? $5 million. Now, here's the rest of it. Horses that enter and owners will not be competing just for the world's largest purse, but are going to share equally in 100% of the income from the handle, which means all the betting on the race all over the world. All that betting goes through the track, you know, basically funnels down to the track.
Kickstarter, here we come. I'm posting it now.
The income from the track. Oh, keeps going. You share equally in 100% of the media rights. So because media has to pay for this race and you get 100% sharing of the sponsorships. So all sponsors, all media, all betting, all everything is shared between these 12 horses that all 12 put $1 million in to get in the race. And the winner takes all of the $12 million.
Oh, so it's a one prize, huh? Share.
Yeah, wow. One prize.
But this is really cool idea because the owners of those spots are going to be really, really motivated to promote the daylights out of it, get the most spectacular horses to run it, just because the advertising and media rights are going to be where the biggest dollars is. And if you've got the big names horses, that's where the betting is. This makes so much sense.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that amazing? Doesn't that sound? It is Adena Springs that he owns. So you were just at Frank Stronach.
We need
place.
To get Mr. Stronach on here to talk about this. That's what I think.
Yeah, you work on that, Jennifer.
I'll work on that.
Hey. I know people who know people who might know that guy.
Oh, that's right. You do. Hey, I just figured it out. If everybody that listens to this show contributed, it would only be $50 each.
There you go.
Okay. I was thinking like $200,000 each.
No, it'd be like $50 each if everybody listened to this show contributed from all over the world, and then they would all share. We could have a syndicate, and then they
are we
going to
put Nigel in, or should we go ahead and put Zeus in, or something? You know, something with a chance.
And I just kind of slow. We might have to find ourselves a racehorse to actually that can race.
If you hold a carrot in front of him, he will win that race.
Can we do it like Bugs Bunny, where we just hold the carrot in front of him? You know.
The little fishing line.
Or they do the greyhounds. We'll just have a carrot go around on a track, you know, and they can chase it. If he chases it, it might be good.
Isn't that so exciting, though? I mean,
this is getting
cool
closer
idea.
To what I want, and that's match races again. Big dollar match races like back in the 20s where it's two horses. This is getting closer.
Yeah, yeah, this is going to be really, really cool. I can't wait. So it's January 28th. So obviously we will be continuing to cover the Pegasus World Cup.
Hey, Jennifer, we could go down for that. That's going to be here in Florida.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
Get a hold of. Hey, you two, get the Stronach thing done and then get us an invitation, okay?
Absolutely.
All right.
Maybe I can get
it. If we own one of the spots, we're going
to
go.
Yeah, we have to book at the owner's box.
Absolutely. People, whatever you do, please do not give Glenn $50 to put his horse, Nigel, in the race. It's he's not licensed as a trainer, or the horse is not
can find a trainer.
Eligible to run.
Please, I'm sure your friend has a trainer friend. Yeah. There's lots of
Nigel
those.
Nigel doesn't have a gate card, though. Yeah, I don't know if you'd be allowed to
None of this is okay. Okay, so seriously, please, please.
The Horse Radio Network presents Nigel.
Edward has a chance if you just put a plastic bag on the end of your
Jet.
Crop.
Let's get Jet back.
Yeah. 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 We'll see how that works
out. We need
out.
A bolter.
Again,
we need a bolter. Please. How long's the race?
We need a bolter.
We need a
we
bolter.
We fixed Thor. Sorry, we fixed Thor. Oh. He doesn't bolt anymore.
Mustang's eligible. Can we have the first Mustang ever in the race?
All right, moving on to the Quarter you Horse started Association. I was giving you a legitimate news story and you took it and ran, which is why we do this show. Hey, real quick, if you are a Quarter Horse person, I like to give you news from every aspect of the horse world.
They're having a $1 million race?
It's not a $1 million race. It's actually people getting in trouble. There is a policy, you know, there's horse abuse in every sport, unfortunately.
Every
and as you get to the higher levels with more money, people figure out more ways to cheat. Well, there is a new policy for the Quarter Horse Association. Those who break the rules pertaining to inhumane treatment and unsportsmanlike conduct, they want you to name them, and they're going to publish news releases on their website with the names of people who have broken the AQHA's rules pertaining to inhumane treatment and unsportsmanlike conduct, and it's going to put your name on there. And the move is part of the association's stand on animal welfare. They're trying to protect the horse and the future of the breed in accordance with its mission statement. This is quotes, that the quarter horse be treated humanely with dignity, respect, and compassion at all times. I think that should be good for all horses, but they're also, do you know what a belly band is, Jennifer?
I didn't until I read this article. I didn't know such a thing existed.
It protects the horse's girth and sides from the spur, but it's banned because like it was hiding marks. I don't get it. Like, I don't get how a belly band works, but apparently they've now been disapproved. They've been banned.
They banned the belly band?
Yes, they did.
What is that? Do you know? Did you get any more than that?
I think it's something that they use when schooling so that they don't get marks. I don't know. But the fact that somebody would need to use that is mildly disturbing. I'm glad they've banned it.
And they've also, this one was shocking. They have prohibited the use of dye or other substances to alter or hide markings. Basically, when your horse gets big, giant spur marks and their hide turns white, people have been dying that to not show the spur marks. God, people are terrible. Why would you need to spur a horse till it bleeds? I don't get it. But apparently that is now prohibited, which means somebody was using dye on their horse to hide natural markings. What, are they blocking out stars? They want the horse to be solid? I don't get it.
Boy, that's a whole nother world I don't know a lot about.
Gosh, isn't anybody who knows anything about this, please give us a call. Because I know that there's a way, or send us an email and we'll get you on. But it's just shocking to me the way that people continue to try to cheat in horse sports.
My favorite part about this, though, is the best way to make it stop is to throw it out there into the public. Because if trainer X is doing something that breaks these rules, all of his clients and all of his potential clients are going to know about it.
Yep. And they call
this
it
just fantastic.
The name and shame policy.
I like that. I like that name.
I love it.
The name and
name
shame.
And shame. Name so and you shame. Can name them and they will be shamed publicly on the AQHA's website and in the newsletter, which I think.
Well, it's interesting because they've gone about this in a very smart way, in my opinion. They're not going out and putting undercover police out there from the AQHA to try to catch you. What they're doing is they are making sure to scan the media outlets. And every time an article is published by any media outlet that names an AQHA member performing any of these things, they publish it. Mm-hmm. So they're really making use of.
Although I have to say that the when we go back to the Big Lick people, all their names have been out in public. Hasn't stopped them. So I don't know.
That's because everybody in that sport cheats, and so they all just give each other a pat on the back.
Yeah, there's no non-cheaters.
It seems like if you're gonna stack up your shoes and do something like that to your horse, there is a way that you are cheating. I mean, the whole thing's cheating. Like, horses don't move like that. God, don't get me started. Glenn Gadd, bring up the dang walking horses.
Back to the match races. It's only $50 each, people, and we could be millionaires.
I have heard walking horse people actually say, because I boarded at a barn, if the dang government would just get out of our business. And I was like... 18, 19. I was like, what are you talking about? Now I remember.
I got her started. You know, there's only one thing that makes Jamie madder than the whole Big Lick thing. And that's.
Don't say it. Don't say his name.
That's this.
Gagasus, Lord of the Infield Fest.
Third Saturday.
Preakness,
May,
baby.
That's when the Preakness comes to Pimlico.
I knew you had.
That's the infield.
I thought you were going to say Mike Smith.
I knew you'd miss Pegasus. So I went and dug it out of the files.
Named Pegasus.
That may well be the only existing sound file.
It's the only one left.
I think everybody else has destroyed.
Count on me for not ever getting rid of this. This is going to live on forever in infamy.
The human party and heart till the break of dawn, and now the legend lives on.
Oh, God. That is, I forgot all about Kegasus. Now, for those who have been listening to the show, Kegasus is half horse, half man, a created icon of the Preakness infield party. And they had some dude that literally walked around as a centaur who... Yes. Who was
his job
drinking
was to drink beer a lot
people.
Of beer.
And so that was a big part of the Preakness infield party several years ago, and Glenn just can't let that go.
I'm sorry. And they got rid of him because apparently he wasn't that popular, but you can count on us to keep his legacy going. I'm
if
with you,
you
Pegasus. We got your back.
If you hadn't seen those commercials or known what the whole thing was, and some centaur dude walks up to you wanting to drink a beer with you in the infield party, you'd be like,
and
get
he was
away,
ugly
weirdo.
And creepy and fat. It was just, everything was, the whole thing was wrong with that picture. It was really, the whole thing was wrong.
It was not an Adonis on horseback.
No, it was,
I think, some weird guy with a mustache.
Yeah, it pretty much was. All right, let's do this. We are going to take a break for Back on Track, and then we have some recordings to play for you, but we'll be back right after this.
Hello, I'm Emily Reynolds, a professional mounted shooter from Western New York, and I'm here today to talk to you about Back on Track Hawk Boots. This is my 21-year-old gelding that keeps up with the ladies fours and cowboy mounted shooting, and it's thanks to Back on Track Hawk Boots keeping him sound and happy. The Back on Track therapeutic hawk boots have a durable neoprene outer shell and ceramic infused material on the inside called Weltex. This material in the hawk boot reflects the horse's body warmth to help stimulate blood circulation. The increased blood circulation may help to alleviate swelling and soreness, making the hock joint move more freely. By increasing circulation and decreasing inflammation, your horse's hock joints will be able to move more freely and without pain. The boot fastens around the hock, but leaves the hock point uncovered. The attached Velcro straps allow you to adjust the boot's fit. We use them before and after exercise. Back on Track, therapeutic comfort at its best. Ask for it by name.
And of course, you can follow Back on Track also on their Facebook page. Just search for Back on Track Products. Well, we have a couple of recordings coming up for you today, but we're going to start with Karen Chatton, who does the endurance episode. He had a chance to talk to Valerie Ashker. Now, Jamie, do you remember Valerie Ashker is Lainey Ashker, the eventer's mom? And yep. Valerie is also an inventor, and she is on a call, or she's on a crusade to let everybody know that thoroughbreds are tough and strong, and an OTTB is something that you're going to want in your barn. And the way she's doing that is she started out from California, and she's going on a 3,000-mile trek across the country on a couple of retired thoroughbreds. Now, she's a week in, and she made it to Karen Chatton's house. And she's going to staying with Karen for a couple of days. And, of course, Karen is known. She's ridden, like, what was it, like 40,000 miles or something on her horses in endurance races. So Karen knows a little bit about long-distance riding. And Valerie actually got some help from Karen before she started on this trek. Well, she got a chance to sit down with her last night and find out how the first week went. So let's take a listen.
Okay, we are sitting in Valerie Ashker's living quarters trailer in Gardnerville, Nevada. She has already ridden over 100 miles into her 3,500-mile cross-country journey. So, Valerie, how are you feeling?
I'm feeling great today. Yesterday, I'm not so great. I was really tired after walking most of the Kingsbury grade, leading our horses, and got a pep in the arm with Karen there meeting me on the most famous chief. And that helped carry me home just being on that high. But today I'm feeling better, a little bit like 12-hour rest, and you come back, you bounce back. So it's always good.
And how do you feel about how your horses are doing so far?
Great. It's funny. He looked a little thinner yesterday getting on your property. But he looks much better today. It's almost that they sensed from me that, well, this will be our new home for 2 days. This is our rest time because they've been eating. They've been drinking. In fact, I can't keep them fed enough. And that's something was unusual because they were starting to go off a little bit their feed, their grain. So all's good right now.
And how about you? Are you eating and drinking well?
Well, the thing is, what happens to me is I don't eat in the morning, then I eat this big lunch, then I start riding and I go, ugh, I don't feel very good. So I have to change my eating habits and eat a far more little meals so that I can stomach riding afterwards, yet keep the nutrition and the hydration on board.
And how do you feel about the first week? Like, describe each of the days or some parts of about each day that you remember the most.
I think the first week has actually gone really well. There was a couple, excuse my French, hell days, rides from hell, on the Pony Express Trail about the third day into it when we went up Ice House Road and getting onto that Pony Express Trail. It's not been prepared for the Pony Express Trail next month. So I felt like I was part Tarzan with my boyfriend, Peter Friedman. We were trying to get horses over big rocks, over the logs. Some of the logs I really wanted to jump because, of course, I'm on ex-event horses. But Peter in a Western-type saddle would reluctantly bow out of that. So we had to kind of bore holes through dense bushes.
And you brought some visitors back, I understand.
Yes. Lots of visitors, and if you go on my Second Makes Through Starting Gates and you look back on that Facebook page, I'm actually talking and there's a tick running across my forehead. It's great.
Oh my gosh. And so did you ride through snow?
Yes, and about a good 3.5-foot snow drifts, and we had to plow through. My horses were funny about that. They've never really seen snow that you're supposed to walk on, because in Northern California, it's a dusting at best. But my little horse learned how to walk on top of it. He didn't stamp through. My big horse stamped right through, and then he started thinking, well, maybe I should just walk like more lightly, like pat the ground more flatly. And he figured that out, and he stayed above it more than he did sinking through it at the end.
So what are some of the biggest challenges that you've faced so far?
Definitely going on the single track like the Pony Express trails, because they're so not prepped. I don't mind not prepped. I mean, I love jumping things and things that are like 3 foot tall. My horses use, they're event horses. And so that's not as daunting. But having to pave trails that aren't there, going down a steep mountain to go around a big, like 4 foot pine tree that died, you know, it's that kind of the climbing. It's hot out. After about 6-8 hours on the trail, you get a little bit miserable. It's a little daunting. Your horses are a little bit more, there's more of that negative Nancy genre, and you really have to fight that. And you really have to say, okay, we will be at camp, and it's just taking a little longer, but the end of the rainbow is that camp. And it's funny because my horses now see the trailer, and what they used to not like about it, now they love about it. It's their new home. So it's working out real well.
And it's where the food is.
Exactly.
So what's the biggest challenge that you faced so far, say, with your rig?
That we went, I think the term is mid-high, or isn't that when you... It's, in other words, you take out all your plumbing on a road that you backed up and that was not enough clearance. And my driver's new, Mr. Willie Gass. He's amazing. I'd be lost without him. He's such a... There's three parts of this trip, myself, Peter Friedman, and Willie Gass. And, but, you know, it is hard to drive a big rig like this. And you have told me yourself that my rig doesn't have enough clearance in it. So we're going to go get and put the... What do they call the...
Raise the axles.
Yeah, raise the axles up so we don't take out the plumbing, because we're now without any plumbing. So when you lift the toilet up, there's complete daylight.
Gives a new meaning to the term outhouse. Well, keep the lid shut. Those things, you might get even more ticks inside.
So anyhow, that's it. But the rig has been a blessing. And we come in for lunch midday. Horses get mashed, tied to the trailer. And we come in and we eat and we talk about what we've been through. Willie just sits there in amazement and takes the most glorious pictures. I think he's destined to be a great photographer because he's very good behind the lens of a camera.
And what are the biggest challenges that you faced with the horses so far?
Probably finding out what works boot-wise on my horses, what works saddle pad-wise on Solar, because he's a hair sway. He's 17. I think we're getting a grip on that. And keeping their appetites at 100%, where they're eager to eat the next meal, keeping them enthused. Everything else has been, they've been wonderful. And when they've been a little tired, not as prissy on the trail, we simply just get off and hand walk them. And it's really saved them. And it's just the management. They tell us what they need.
Well, I was really impressed with how well they handled coming down Kingsbury Grade. For those listeners that have never heard of Kingsbury Grade, it is one of the passes in and out of South Lake Tahoe. And it's very windy and steep. Mm-hmm. It's several miles long. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of spots where there is no shoulder. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the people traveling on that route, driving, are in a hurry. Mm-hmm. And so you guys were very brave to go over that with the horses. But the horses, I rode with them for 13 miles after they got to the bottom on some busy highways with very little shoulder. And those horses were just fabulous. They were terrific. So what is the biggest challenge for you as a rider? What are your, you know, challenges as far as physically go?
It's my challenge is mentally probably. I used to run half marathons. I'm physically pretty fit. I haven't been running in years, and I'm 60 years old, and I have knee injuries, and, you know, your bones get a little frail. And but my physical chance, I need to eat more. I need to keep hydrated, and I need to keep my eye on the prize. It is really important that I think about not what's ailing me or what's ahead, but focus on that moment when I get to the East Coast with the same horse I started in the same condition. And that is why I'm doing this. It doesn't do me any good or the off-track thoroughbreds any good if I have to switch horses up. And the whole factor I'm doing this is because I'm trying to prove the versatility and the courage, the strength, and the heart that they have, these horses. And so I have to really put that as my prize, my focus. Mm-hmm. And I have to take care of myself in order to get my horse there, as well as take care of him. So eating, hydrating, keep, even when I'm not interested, it's like my horse, I got to still throw food at them.
Exactly. And how many miles have you done on, just say on average, a day?
You know, I would want to say 16. About 16
so
miles.
So you're doing pretty good.
Yeah, mm-hmm. We're doing okay. For horses that have never mm-hmm. done this before, I mean, they run and jump for 3 minutes, cross-country courses. They have the rest of the day off, you know. They do a dressage test, and that's 3 minutes, and then the rest of their day is off. So these horses, and they do a minute and a half stadium round, they're not mm-hmm. used to 20 miles a day. Definitely. Okay. Definitely.
And what are your plans for this coming week?
I'm going to start out after we leave your house, and you so graciously put us up for a wonderful hiatus. I'm going to head out, and I believe you're joining me with my very dear friend, Deb Zaire. She's coming from California. We're going to head out about 10.3 miles mm-hmm. For the first
for the
stop. We're going to start easy again, and then we're going to head out on the on Friday. That would be
around 22, I
you're
think
right.
it was.
And where am I heading?
You're heading to Dayton.
Thank you, Karen.
I have written directions for you and for your crew. See, we'll at least get you to Dayton.
Well, up until now, I had every day marked off, but I knew when I got to your house, we have traveled it by car, and there are turnoffs like every 7 to 8 miles. We saw this, and uh-huh. but I don't know exactly when okay. those will be. So,
and we'll have to on go any of these future rides, would you like company?
Absolutely. I wanted to be a Forrest Gump. I want people to follow me. I would love to have 100 riders behind me and supporting the cause, enjoying it, bringing people with people. Horse people are the best, and telling stories around the campfire. Absolutely.
So can they just send you a message if they're interested in riding with you through
absolutely,
Facebook?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. And what is that page?
It's Second Makes Through Starting Gates. If they just went Starting Gates on Facebook, they'd probably find my dedicated page. But it's Second with a 2ND, Makes Through, THRU, Starting Gates.
Cool. Well, thanks, Valerie, for
absolutely.
Talking to us. And good luck this week. We're going to be following you.
All right. Thank you so very much.
Well, that's good to get it. We'll keep getting updates for her as she makes her way across the country. She did some very hilly terrain there and sounded like she had some interesting experiences. And we'll keep an eye on her and as she goes across the country.
No kidding. That sounds tough. I mean, a week to go 100 miles. Like, ooh, you got a long way to go.
Yeah, 3,000 miles total. So it's going to...
It's tough country.
Yeah, and it's going to get a little bit easier when she gets into Kansas and, you know, some of those places mm-hmm. where it's a little flatter. It also gets a hell of a lot more boring, you know. So,
yeah.
you know, you've been in those states, Oklahoma and Kansas and Nebraska. It could get boring for a long period of time. So,
yeah.
Well, but sounds like the horses are holding up. I talked to Karen and she said everybody seemed to be good spirits. So that's good.
Good.
Well, next coming up, it is Wednesday, which means it's time for a health segment, and we're getting some help this time from Tigger, who does the Healthy Critters Radio. By the way, if you haven't had a chance to listen to that, it's on our app and also on our website at horseradionetwork.com. Healthy Critters Radio is actually doing very well. It's very funny. Jennifer has joined that show, so there's three of them now, and they do some wacky topics. Like yesterday, Jennifer, you talked about, in the show coming up, you talked about vacation spots where you can bring your dog, right?
Vacationing with your dog.
Vacationing
right.
with your dog. And they awesome. Talk about these places you go. They do some really different stuff on that show, and it's a lot of fun. But Tigger is an encyclopedia of knowledge, and today she talks to us a little bit about nutrient depletion. Coming up.
And here we are at Critter Nutrition. We're going to talk about common medications and the nutrients they deplete. And I want to tell you that if you want to read my complete tristes on medications and the nutrients they deplete, please go to the BioStar US website, go to articles, and go to the formulator's corner, because there you can read it and I go into a lot more depth. Here I'm just going to pick up some highlights for you today on common nutrients and how to rebalance the horse after they've been on medication. We know the health of the GI tract is fundamental to equine, canine, and human health. It is the seat of the immune system, and it's the seat of nutrient absorption. What happens when we have to give drugs like antibiotics, ulcer medications, and acids or anti-inflammatory drugs? Perhaps not surprisingly, these different classifications of drugs can diminish or deplete important gut microorganisms and/or nutrients. Ulcer medications. Common ulcer medications like the proton pump inhibitor omeprazole can diminish or deplete B12, beta-carotene, folate, iron, zinc, calcium, magnesium, vitamin C, and vitamin D. Cimetidine and ranitidine can deplete or diminish calcium, chromium, folate, iron, B12, and zinc. Sucralfate diminishes phosphorus. With the corticosteroids, these drugs include cortisone, dexamethasone, hydrocortisone, and prednisone, can deplete calcium, folate, magnesium, chromium, potassium, zinc, vitamin C, and vitamin D. Equiox and Prevacox diminishes folate. Antibiotics, amoxicillin, penicillin, erythromycin, sulfonamide deplete beneficial bacteria strains, the bifidobacteria, and lactobacillus, as well as vitamins B1, B2, B3, B5, B6, B12, vitamin K, calcium, magnesium, and potassium. The tetracycline antibiotics, doxycycline and minocycline, will deplete or diminish lactobacillus, bifidobacteria, calcium, magnesium, potassium, iron, zinc, vitamins B1, B2, B5, B6, B12, vitamin K, and folate. As you probably noticed, as I've gone down this list of nutrients that are affected by these medications, folate shows up quite frequently. There is a great confusion over the term folate and the term folic acid. Folic acid is the synthetic version of folate, which is also known as vitamin B9. Folic acid is not found in fresh whole foods. Folic acid is synthetic and is added to processed foods and supplements as a fortifier. Folate is found in green grass, green vegetables, super green foods like spirulina, as well as legumes like alfalfa, timothy hay, orchard grass, and some grains. Folate is required for DNA synthesis and cell growth, and is important for red blood cell formation and energy production, as well as the formation of some amino acids. Folate is essential for creating heme, the iron-containing substance in hemoglobin that is crucial for oxygen support. Now, horses with EPM. EPM horses treated with sulfadiazine and pyrimethamine can be affected with lower folate levels. These two drugs inhibit the metabolism and absorption of folate. Two studies have highlighted that supplementation with folic acid only made the problems worse. Don't add more folic acid. The best course of action when using these medications is fresh grass, super green foods, and/or alfalfa pellets or cubes for increased folate. How do we nutritionally support horses that have to be on drug therapy? One of the most important things to remember about horses is their GI tract. Access to fresh grass, even hand grazing, is critical for the health of the intestinal tract. Nutrients in grass and the microbes in the soil help support the digestive system. Grass and forage also supply vitamin K. The super green foods, spirulina and chlorella, provide not only folate, but also plant chelated macro and micro minerals, including but not limited to calcium, magnesium, chromium, zinc, potassium, and iron, which can be depleted or diminished by various drug therapies. Spirulina also provides the B complex vitamins, including B12 and beta carotene. The beneficial microorganisms, also known as probiotics. Particularly for horses on antibiotic therapies, recolonizing the GI tract is essential. Look for lactobacillus strains that supply at least 100 billion CFUs, that's colony forming units, per serving. Multi-strain formulas are better than single-strain formulas because the GI tract is home to a variety of beneficial organisms. Microencapsulated formulas are best as they protect the viable beneficial organisms from the acid environment of the stomach. Do not give probiotics at the same time you are giving antibiotics. I prefer to give probiotics 1 to 2 hours after each antibiotic treatment. Vitamin D. 2 hours of sunlight per day can provide most horses with enough vitamin D. Forages that have been sun-dried also supply adequate amounts of vitamin D, particularly alfalfa. Some nutritionists have pointed out that horses wearing blankets may need vitamin D supplementation. However, a study done in New Zealand that was presented at the American College of Veterinary Medicine Internal Medicine Forum, June 4th through the 6th in 2015, showed that blanketing does not appear to impact vitamin D status in horses, and that pasture vitamin D and forage vitamin D are important for ensuring adequate vitamin D levels. Vitamin D, commonly found in supplements and feed, can be derived from irradiated cattle brains, from ultraviolet irradiation of lanolin from sheep's wool, or from fish oil. The whole food approach. When I developed Optimum, BioStar's whole food multivitamin mineral supplement, I did so for my own horses. I could no longer put a scoop of coal tar derivative B vitamins, inorganic minerals, and vitamin A from petroleum in my horses' feed buckets. I created Optimum because I wanted the best multinutrient supplement for them. Optimum is 100% whole food that includes the super green food spirulina. My horse Lionheart, who is now 29 years young, and the rescue horse Ringo Starr, age 20, whose owner wanted to put him down because she didn't want to pay the bills on him anymore, have been on Optimum for 8 years. They have no health issues, no metabolic challenges, no ulcers, no allergies, and they're barefoot. My friends who know Lionheart remember that he was once a walking vet bill on a farrier's challenge. If I have any regrets, it's that I didn't make the connection between food and health when Lionheart was younger. Medications are important and necessary, so doesn't it make sense to support the body as best we can with real food that is brimming with enzymes, nutrients, antioxidants, and a life force? Foods which haven't been processed to death? Foods that won't put stress on the GI tract? Foods that will replenish and support the body system at large.
Well, there you go. You can find more of her show over at healthycrittersradio.com. We'll be right back. We got Victoria coming up right after this message.
Southern Colorado Livestock Auction. 15th Annual Catalog Horse Sale. Same great sale at our new location in Fowler, Colorado. Friday and Saturday, May 20th, 21st, 2016. On Friday, May 20th, is the Ranch Rodeo. It starts at 4 o'clock. And after the rodeo, there's a tax sale, barbecue, and dance. Don't want to miss that. On Saturday, May 21st, 10 a.m. are the horse demonstrations. And the horse sale begins at 12 o'clock. This is the finest horse sale around, so be sure that you stop by if you're looking for ranch horses. It's located at 2260 U.S. Highway 50 in Fowler, Colorado, 81039. You can visit their website at www.sclaauction.com. That web address again is www.sclaauction.com or give them a call at 719-263-4152. That number again is 719-263-4152. You can also shoot them an email at sclaauction@gmail.com. That email address again is sclaauction@gmail.com. Don't miss it.
That'd be dangerous.
Yeah, you're not allowed to go.
Oh my gosh, I'm about to Google it now. Like, I need a quarter horse ranch horse, but I'm like, I want to go to that auction.
You're not allowed to go. No, 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 not allowed.
One state over. It's Colorado.
Yeah,
it's
you're
so
right
close.
There, actually.
Yeah, I can walk.
We have a lot of listeners in Colorado. I'm surprised when I look, I can sort of see what states on one of the reports, and we got a lot of listeners in Colorado. A lot of horses over there. Well, you know where else we have a lot of listeners? That's in
where?
England. England, oh. We have a lot of listeners, too.
Awesome.
Now it's time for the European Report with Horse and Country TV.
And we welcome Victoria Spicer. Victoria, good morning.
Good morning to you guys.
Oh my gosh, are you just Royal Windsor Horse Showed out right now?
I didn't make it at all, I'm afraid. But,
Oh my God, that's right. There was a wedding or something you had to go to.
Yeah, and it's just, even though it was just along the road, I didn't make it this year, so I feel a bit bad, but never mind.
You didn't get to see the big party?
No, I didn't. I recorded it on TV, though, so I think that'll do.
Wow, that's like a televised horse show. I want to live in England. How cool.
It is very cool. But yeah, no, they only showed the Queen's birthday celebrations, not so much the Hall of Royal Windsor. But they did have a live stream this year, which is quite exciting. So I was able to watch some via the internet.
Oh, cool. Well, I just, as far as news coming out of Horse and Country, it's got to be a lot of the Royal Windsor Horse Show.
Yes, indeed. So we've got a winner's gallery up on our website, and you can see lots of pictures of which horses were winning and the show jumping and showing and driving. And also you can see some of the photos from the Queen's birthday celebrations, which had some 900 horses taking part. So it was quite an impressive display.
Can you see the pictures of the Grand Prix win that the USA took? What?
You can. You can indeed. So if you head to our news pages, we have got a report on the Grand Prix, and it looked like John Whittaker was going to get a home win, but Kent Farrington came and stole the Grand Prix. So he denied Britain a home win, but a fantastic round and a very impressive time to get the title there.
About damn time we take some of your money. You've been taking all of ours. So.
A different time. The Queen would have been off with his head.
Yes, indeed.
But no longer. She's 90. She's fine.
She doesn't mind. But yeah, no, Ken Farrington's won quite a bit over here because he won the King George V Cup at Hickstead a few years back. So he obviously is pretty reliable on British soil. Maybe he should move here instead. In fact, maybe he should change nationality and become British and compete for us instead.
I actually was wondering if he does live there because he wins so much over there in Great Britain.
Definitely not in Britain. I don't know if he lives in the continent or if he bases himself over here during the season, but yeah, and no, I'm 99% sure he doesn't live here.
Gotcha. Well, hey, talk to us a little bit about the Dartmoor ponies obviously ponies were a big part of the Queen celebration, but there are some ponies that are doing some stuff that had no spotlight on them whatsoever.
Yeah, it's a really sweet story. It's about a group of teenagers who are all like struggling with life challenging problems, and they were invited to take part in this hike across Dartmoor, and to help them out they involved three Dartmoor ponies, and so the ponies accompanied them on this huge trek across the moorlands, and apparently just really change things for these teenagers and really help them. And one of them was just like, I didn't want to do the challenge. I didn't think I could do any of it. And no, I just don't want it to be over. And he just loved being with all the Dartmoor ponies. So it's really sweet.
One of the parents actually said that, and this is the quote, "My son was frightened of even going out the front door. Since working with the ponies, he's now able to walk the dogs, go to the local shop, and hold a conversation with anyone we meet."
That's it's lovely. An awesome thing.
Very, very cool. So they don't want to stop. So that's wonderful that the ponies are doing such good work and out there helping teenagers. Now, what else in the news department do you guys have?
Well, we've also got a report from Chatsworth, which is one of the many big three-day events that we have over here, held in the grounds of a stately home. We like to have impressive backdrops. And this one was quite exciting because they've created this new series called the Event Riders Masters. And like, it's all about kind of stringing three-star events together and making them a series and boosting prize money and getting more awareness. And so lots of very competitive event riders trying to win. And it was the French who just dominated. They were first, second, and third, and fifth. So they were definitely the ones to beat, with Astier Nicolas, who I always want to call Nicolas Astier, but that's not his name. He came first and was just led from start to finish and was really impressive. So ahead of Rio, I think, we're expecting the Germans to have a bit of a walkover for gold. But if the French carry on in this vein, they're going to be the ones to watch.
That can't happen. French cannot beat everybody in eventing. Come on.
They're pretty good though. Like the French have got some pretty consistent riders, so I wouldn't be surprised. And don't forget, the Olympics is a three-star event, so they've dominated at this three-star. So
that is something that I forget. Because you think Olympics, you think four-star, but it's not. It's a three-star.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah. Exactly. And it's a shame. I guess it's because of the inclusivity thing that they want more nations to take part. And if you limited it to four star, then you're not going to get as many nations.
WEG is four star, right? I think WEG's four star. Yeah.
But then they're not as upset about about not having as many different countries at WEG. So,
exactly.
Now, also, the Brits did not do so well in, what is it called, La Ball?
La Boule is, La Boule. It's one of the First Nations Cup series of the season so far. After last month, we had to cancel one in Belgium because of torrential downpours. It was a really exciting one, but a disappointment for you guys as well, because the Americans were doing really, really well, and then they just missed out on winning. They were very unlucky, and it started off in the first round with like five teams, I think, jumping clear. And then in the second round, just a few things started to go awry. So the Dutch finished on one time penalty, which when you've jumped, you've got three scores to count and you're jumping two rounds, that's pretty impressive. And the USA had settle for second place, who were just behind them. But Britain disappeared from first to sixth after starting to pick up quite a few penalties in the second round. But more excitingly, we had a return of a very special horse in Big Star, Nick Skelton's London 2012 horse. So he came back and jumped a double clear. So that's exciting.
It was fantastic. Now, I have a question. So there was the Queen's, that was the Grand Prix show jumping as the final event, right?
Yes.
Okay. And then this is a Grand Prix show jump over the same weekend?
Yes. So Royal Windsor would be a much smaller show than La Boule in terms of sort of prestige. I think La Boule is a five-star show, and the Nations Cup series is hugely sort of coveted and things. So, yeah, I guess Kent was competing in Windsor and didn't get selected to go to La Boule. And you have to be selected for the team. You have four riders and a fifth who's the reserve. And they're the only people who are allowed to compete at these big five-star shows.
Okay, because the U.S. had Lauren Ho, Lucy Davis, Margie Goldstein Engel, and Todd Minicus were the actual riders. Lauren Huff, I think.
Yes.
So yeah, it just seems like everybody was in Britain this year, this weekend.
Well, La Boule was in France, but just
close enough.
Yeah, not too far.
Just
away,
a little tunnel away.
I you know, honestly, in my to be honest, I've never heard of La Boule, obviously. So
you have to get involved in the Nations Cup series since America seems to be doing pretty well this year. So yeah, that's one of the big legs over here.
Let me
showgrounds.
Let me give you guys a little behind the scenes, all you listeners, okay? I would love to pre-read and study all of these things that Victoria Spicer talks about if she sent them to me more than 6 minutes before we start the interview.
Apologies. Yeah, sorry.
So I'm doing the best I can.
And Jamie's had no sleep last night, so that doesn't help either.
No sleep.
Oh, hey, Victoria, are you in a hurry?
No, I'm not.
Oh, good, because I'm going to surprise you with something. Victoria loves this. So this year is the year of the listener, and over on the Stava Scoop radio show, we have been having listeners as guests. So every show, every week for the entire year, we're having listeners. And it's very popular. People are loving to hear about other listeners. Now, I've had a couple of our listeners say, we love Victoria on Horses in the Morning, and they want you to participate in the Year of the Listener. And the way they want you to do that is at the end of every listener interview, we ask a series of rapid-fire questions.
Okay.
Are you ready for the rapid-fire questions, Victoria?
Are they like questions to me, or are they like general knowledge questions?
No. These are about you. These are about you.
Okay. I might be able to answer them then.
All right, good. So the first one is, what is your favorite food?
Chocolate.
Oh, boy. That's good. Perfect. What is your least favorite food?
I'm not very fast, am I? I don't like peas very much.
Peas? That's a first.
I was waiting for fish and chips or
something. Yes, I was waiting for like haggis myself. But
I love haggis. I'm Scottish. We're made to eat haggis.
What's your biggest equestrian pet peeve?
Being cut up when you're in the collecting ring and trying to jump.
What's that mean? I'm not even sure what you just said.
So the collecting ring is in the warm-up ring where you go before you jump.
Yeah.
And when people cut in front of you or go behind the fence or come in front of the fence when you're trying to jump, because I'm always dreading X-razors and they're always quite young. And I want lots of space and I don't want to have to pull up sharply. So that is my pet hate.
Okay. And do you have, and now you cover them all, you've met all of these people. Do you have a favorite professional equestrian?
I think Ben Mayer is great to interview. He is really, he's really charming and he always says intelligent things. So I think he's really cool.
Did you notice, Jamie, that Ben Mayer always comes up when we talk to Victoria? Just saying. What profession other than yours or horses would you like to attempt? So if there was a profession that you know, other than what you're doing now or horses, what would you do?
I would love to write Julie Cooper style novels. that's always what I wanted to do. And then I became a journalist instead. So the novel got put on ice until I'm
You could
busy.
Write the next Harry Potter series, you know.
Google Jilly, who is it? Jilly Harris? What?
Julie Cooper. I can't Jilly believe Cooper. You guys have not heard of Julie
what's
Cooper.
That?
She is a British writer who writes about the horse world, and she wrote a book called Riders, which if you Google it, it's quite a racy book, and basically every horsey girl, every person I worked with at Horse and Hound all adore Julie Cooper. She is an absolute legend. She's in her 70s now and she's still writing, and she's about to release a book on flat racing, having just written about jump racing. And I can't wait for it. So yeah,
So what you're saying is you want to write sexy novels.
Yeah, set in the horse world. That would be fun. I could do that.
Awesome.
What's the most terrifying thing you've ever done? Would you do it again?
Oh gosh. Probably presented on the channel. I try not to go on camera very much. I'm much happier behind camera or writing, but I have done it and it does make me pretty scared. But yeah, I suppose I'd do it again.
But you're so good at it.
No, I see, that's why I work really well with Jenny, because she's a good presenter, I'm a writer, and we both don't step on each other's toes. So long may that continue.
All right, two more for you. If you could just have one superhero power, what would it be?
I'd love to fly. Like, I always have a recurring dream that I can fly, and I'm really impressed at myself. And then whenever I can turn around to someone and say, oh my god, I can fly, watch this, I can no longer do it. It's really annoying. So, I've just given you a worrying insight into my psyche there.
It's your secret superpower.
Yeah, that's right.
No one, or it goes away.
All right. Yep. One last one. If you could speak to your horse and your horse would answer, but you could only ask one question, what would it be?
Why do you put your head up in the air like a giraffe in the middle of a dressage test? Please, can you stop doing that? That would be my question. And I think, and her answer would be, oh, blatantly, you're not riding me forward enough into like a nice, consistent outline, and I can't balance, and I'm young, and I'm learning, and I'm trying to evade going correctly. But that's not the point. I just want to tell her to stop putting her head up in the air. It makes both our lives very difficult.
Basically, so you really don't want to hear what your horse has to say. You just want to tell your horse what you have to say. That's what you're saying.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And the old adage about ask a mare, tell a gelding. Yeah, I'd have to put it in writing to Rosie and she'd probably ignore me. So, yeah.
Well, that was
those
fun.
Weren't very quick-fire answers. They were quick-fire questions, but I think I'm incapable of answering quickly. So apologies.
It's the Scottish coming out. Thank you so much for doing that. Well, our listeners appreciate it.
You're very welcome.
All right, Victoria, horseandcountry.tv. We'll talk to you again next week.
Talk to you soon.
Bye.
Bye, Victoria.
That was fun. I was wondering what her answers would be. I knew they would be entertaining, if nothing else.
I love those. She actually had pretty quick answers.
Yeah. You know, and with our listeners, we actually send them a questionnaire ahead of time, and they don't fill these out, but we give them a warning of what they're going to be. So they at least are forewarned what questions they might be asked in the rapid fire. Victoria had no idea, so good for her.
She did great.
Good for her. And we've had some interesting answers. It's been really fun doing the listener highlights every week on Stable Scoop. It's been a lot of fun.
Cool.
Very popular too. Now, what's your plan now? You're in Oklahoma. What's happening here?
I'm actually going to go back to Dallas tonight, and then I'm going to fly back to Phoenix tomorrow. So it was just a real quick trip. Chad had 2 days off of training, so I flew into Dallas. We drove up here to Oklahoma to Norman. We were on
the
farm yesterday.
Did you bond with the property?
I did. You know, we're hemming and hawing about places to build houses. Chad and I walked through some different houses and floor plans that we've met separately with a designer, and now we've met with her. I guess she's not a designer. She kind of sells these homes. And so we went to a neighborhood and floor plans, kind of started to agree on a floor plan, then went out to the land and totally decided to change where we want to put the house, and which would change the entire house floor plan. So we'll see how that goes. But we also
they say if a marriage can survive building a house, it can survive anything.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Building
you know what
a house
else we did.
Building a house apparently is one of the biggest strains a marriage can endure.
Oh, nobody told me that ahead of time. Dang. Like, this is not straining enough having him across the country for months at a time. And then we also spent time catching gophers and digging up thistle plants. That's pretty much what we did yesterday.
How romantic is that?
I know, it's beautiful. Land ownership, got to do it. Those thistles spread so quickly that if you don't dig them up, they just take over.
All right, now, when you go out there, now, well, for new listeners, Jamie lives in Phoenix, but has bought a piece of land. What is it, 20 acres?
12.
12 acres in Oklahoma near Norman. And there's nothing on it yet, but they're going to move there someday here and looking at getting started. When you go out there, do you feel like, oh man, I wish we could just get this started? Or do you look at it and go, oh, I can wait a little while?
Oh my gosh. You know, it's funny you ask that because there's just I just got out there and I just get that excitement in my tummy. And I can't even imagine the amount of work that we're going to have to put in and the financial investment and to build a house, a barn, an arena. We're trying to like map where the driveway is going to go. And it just is so daunting. And then you stare out at your ginormous green fields and you just realize how like I was like, Chili and Duke and my old horse Demure, he's going to come back. And all these retired guys are going to live out their life in a place that they should, which is out in green pastures. And I get to be the one to provide that for them. And it's so exciting to me. It's so exciting. And I get butterflies in my tummy and just, and it's just like the horse happiness aspect of it is what thrills me the most. I think it's really going to be really exciting.
After seeing your horses on 2 acres, I can imagine 12 looks like a ranch in Texas.
Oh my gosh, it does. There's one little kind of like corner part that Chad was, when we initially were looking at the properties, like, yeah, we won't even fence that part because that's going to cost more to fence it than it would be worth. And I sat out in that little part of the field and I was like, this is bigger than my pasture now. Of course we're fencing this. What are you talking about? He's like, you're right. This is huge. So just the sheer, when you have 3 acres and 7 horses and a house and an arena and all that crap. I mean, we've used every inch of our space.
Let's not forget the 85 chickens.
Oh, well, they have their own problems. But yeah, we've used every inch of our space in Phoenix. And this, we're just going to have so much more space and it's going to be.
Jennifer, how long till that every inch of that space is filled up with critters? I give
18
it
months.
18 months.
18
months. I give it.
I got plans for it now. I was just looking at a horse meme on Facebook and it was like 2 horses off in the distance in a silhouette and they were on the left side. And then there's like 2 horses over on the right side. And it says, what a non-horse person sees, you know, beautiful horses grazing in the evening. What a horse person sees, room for more in the middle. That's me.
And by the way, we'll wrap after this, but I wanted to say that meme that you posted, I don't know if you got it from someone else or you made it up. I'm trying to find it. I have to scroll down a ways. Went viral, went nuts. Let me find that.
It said something like, do what you love and the money will follow. Yes. Well, so far I ate pizza, I drank wine and I took a 5-hour nap. Now I sit and wait.
Yes. And had 84,000 views with 512 shares.
Ah, that's so cool. Because it's true. It's what horse people do.
Oh,
I look
is.
At that thing and I'm like, there I am.
Do what you love and the money will follow. Ate pizza, took a 5-hour nap in my underwear and took selfies with my horse. Now I wait.
Yep. Oh, I think I added the drink wine.
All right, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. We got through it. We did it. We got through it.
All right.
And we'll be back tomorrow with the trail riding episode with the NATRC. And then Jamie will be back on Wednesday. Don't forget to get your ads in.
Friday,
that's right. Or Jamie will be back Friday. Yep. Get your ads in for Really Bad Ads. Get them to Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com. She needs some ads. So get busy. And we're giving away a pair of Smooth Stride jeans. That's like $150 value. So get on over to Craigslist and find some really crappy ads and send them in so we have
big
a good
prize.
Batch. Now, you'll be home in Arizona on Friday?
Yes, I hope so.
Well, providing you get through airport security, that is.
Exactly. Kid and stroller coming through.
All right, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow morning, 9 a.m. Eastern.
All right. Spay, neuter, geld. Have a great day. I'm going to go check my gopher traps.